This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by C2E2, the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, April 16th through the 18th at McCormick Place in downtown Chicago. Stay tuned for details on how Word Balloon listeners can enter to win free weekend passes to the con, a VIP package, lunch with a Marvel editor, and more. The details are coming up later in the podcast. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the Comics Conversation Show. This is John Suntress. This Wednesday, the new issue of Billy Batson and the Power of Shazam comes out with a new addition to the creative team. Joining the writers Art Baltasar and Franco Irilliani is artist Mike Norton, who will be bringing a less kiddie look as opposed to the previous issues of the book and begin a more all-ages direction in art that matches the book's storytelling. Shazam is still safe for kids, but Art, Franco, and Mike are ready to shake things up and start blazing new trails with the Shazam family of characters. A few weeks back, DC teased an upcoming cover image for The Power of Shazam. We're going to be talking about that with the guys and more future issues of the book. Art and Franco are also still making us laugh each month with new issues of Tiny Titans. We'll be talking about last week's Superboy issue, which was co-written with Jeff Johns, and also what's coming up in the issues ahead. Some show notes before we get started with the interview. There's a new thread at wordballoon.com at the Word Balloon message board soliciting questions for a new edition of The Loeb Report. We'll be talking with Jeff Loeb very soon and talk Fall of the Hulks and Ultimate X, plus whatever else you want to ask him. So that's all waiting for you at our Word Balloon message board. Go to wordballoon.com and click on the link, or go to jinxworld.com and look up Word Balloon. To register at the Word Balloon message board, you need an email account that comes for your internet service provider. So Gmail doesn't work, or Yahoo accounts. If you're having issues with your regular email account, remember, use an email address that you can get from your net service provider. Now, on to the conversation with the Shazam guys. This was recorded via conference call, so it sounds like we're all on the phone, which we were. And also, Art is a little late, so that means Franco gets the first word for a change.
You know what? I can text them while we're talking.
Why don't you, if you could, why don't you do that right now?
Miracles are modern technology, I tell you.
Actually, this is good because then I can get an opportunity to do unvarnished, Franco. Because when you put Art and Franco together, that suddenly becomes all not real conversation.
What are you saying? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
No, I mean that in a good way. You guys are good on video, and you guys are funny for a quick soundbite. And, oh yeah, man,
How long does this thing take?
And a Vanita thing. Oh no, we're talking. It's a marathon.
We're good for that too.
I know you. Well, this is we've never had a real conversation, the three of us.
But I'm funny on my own, damn it. What are you saying?
Well, there you go. This is it, man. This is me talking to Teller and me talking to every second name.
I'll have you know I'm Anne Franco.
Anne Franco.
That's my byline on all the books. Anne Franco.
Was it...
There's going to be a lot of me laughing in this.
That's all right.
Are we allowed to swear and stuff?
You can say anything you want, man. You can totally say whatever you want.
I don't know if I want to swear. I'm swearing only, a text message to Art. I don't know if that...
Only you can answer.
Hey, where the fuck are you?
Oh, somebody said a bad word.
No, everything's fine. Yeah, exactly. Even though the book is all ages, the conversation doesn't have to be.
Okay.
So, were you always a Captain Marvel fan yourself?
I've been an everything fan for years. I mean, since I can remember. Getting comics and Superman, Batman, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man, all of them. I used to watch the old TV show, too.
The old Shazam show? The live-action one or the...
Yeah. Well, both.
I've said that compared to that show, the George Reeves 1950s Superman is Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Because at least there were guns and, people shooting at Superman in The Adventures of Superman. Whereas, I think the toughest thing that Captain Marvel had to do in the Shazam thing was, get a kitty out of a tree and stuff like that. It was never...
I was like the part in that where, they're shooting a gun at George Reeves, and bullets are bouncing off him, but then the guy, runs out of bullets and throws the gun.
Throws the gun.
And George Reeves ducks. I like that.
And then he ducks.
He does. He ducks.
That's right.
He's like, hey...
But the,
I know it doesn't hurt me, but that's not the point. That's rude.
When I was in high school, I was in L.A. at a Hollywood memorabilia show, and Les Tremaine was there. And Les Tremaine was a mentor on the old TV show. And I got to meet him and everything, and that was really cool. He's like, how the hell do you know who I am?
70s one or the old black and white one? Because there was an old serial, Captain Marvel.
Have you seen that Tom Tyler serial?
No, but I've seen I've seen him. You know, and you can get those, bargain DVDs at,
yes.
CompUSA or something. Sometimes they'll have
sure.
those out in a bargain bin.
Well, Mentor was the 70s, from the 70s TV show. And but now actually, now it's funny because I was, you know, being mean about the 70s TV show. That serial is fantastic. Putting it in perspective. I mean, it's still a hokey Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, you know, movie serial, and you know the acting's kind of goofy in that. But the effects for running a, you know, dummy on a wire and making it look like somebody's flying
are
pretty good.
Is that another crack at me because Art's not here?
Yeah, you're a dummy.
is that what that is?
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. They got the origin and everything. I mean, in the subway, you got the whole everything that happened.
I was a little partial to the ISIS, you know, the ISIS Shazam hour.
I remember ISIS more than I remember the Shazam show because I watched them a lot when I was a kid, but I do not remember anything about the Shazam show except for actually thinking that costume was cool, you know.
I remember the hair because it looked well. The guy's hair looked a lot, you know, like Farrah Fawcett's hair. It was very feathered and, you know, very lovely and flowing.
Have you guys met either? I know Jackson Botswick does a lot of comic book conventions. The first guy that played Captain Marvel, the first season of the Shazam TV show. Meet him.
No, I've never met him.
He came to Chicago, actually, now that I think of it, one year. Mike, did you see him?
I've never seen him, no. I mean, I know he's been to these shows, but I don't really go looking for the media guys.
It was whenever Sluggers was still there. It was like the last year Sluggers was still around. Alex Savick. I was drinking with Alex Savick, and he's like, "Hey, look, it's Jackson Botswick. Come over here, Captain Marvel." And his great New York accent, and it's like, and he walks up, and he's like, "John, you know this guy?" And I'm like, "Of course I do."
Did he know him or something?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They you know, like I said, I think he does enough cons that yeah, I think Alex did know him. The other guy, the second guy that played him on that TV show, John Davey, was actually a professional boxer. He was a little more meatier the second Captain Marvel.
I don't remember a lot about the show, but I remember Captain Marvel, you know, had that, like, real, you know, 5 o'clock, you know, shadow green beard type, not shaved thing. You know? And I was like, wow, he's got to be a superhero because he looks like a man, you know? He looks like a mighty mortal, you know?
There
he
is.
Yeah,
where you at, man?
We're right here. We've been waiting for, like, an hour.
I don't hear Mike. Is Mike there?
That's because I'm not talking.
Oh, okay. I'm good then. I hear everybody.
All right, I'm going to bring you up to speed. Did you ever see Jack? I know you've met Adam West before, but have you ever met any of the guys who played Captain Marvel on the 70s TV show?
No.
Okay.
I saw Barry Boxley. I saw him, but I never met him.
Which one was Shazam on the that Challenge of the Super Friends show?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm betting it was John Davey, the second guy. But I'm going to have to look that up while we're chatting.
That's one of the only things I remember about that thing was him having a tire-throwing contest with Solomon Grundy.
Nice.
And I remember out of all of the guys, the Hawkman was most ripped. He was the only superhero with muscle.
He was carrying around those 150-pound wings. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I read an article in that back issue, that Tomorrow's Magazine, about that special, and they were talking about the woman that played Gigantress or whatever, or Giganta.
Oh, the man woman.
Yes, and that, yeah, apparently this was a successful transgender
early
operation and everything. Yeah, was once a dude and actually became a shapely woman. Who the hell knew?
Oh, that's cool. She was hot.
That just changes all of my childhood things.
It worked.
I want to go back and look at it again now.
I know.
You just want to see it for Hawkman. Who are you kidding, man?
That's right.
Well, you know, Hawkman and her together. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's go around the table and what was the first comic book version of Captain Marvel that everyone read?
I saw him on the cartoon, and I had the Meagle figure. How it was.
Yeah.
And I wondered why the Meagle figure looked different than the on the package. It was the first time I ever saw him in the comic.
Yeah, the first things I ever saw were the TV show, and then I remember him being in DC Comics. So by that time he was brought into the fold of DC. So I remember him being in different adventures there. But you know, and then I went back and read all the older stuff.
Norton,
I'm trying to remember, and I gotta think it must have been the TV show. Because that had to be around the time I was probably into the Batman TV show, and I hadn't really started buying comics then, so it had to have been the TV show. And then probably that Mego thing like Art's talking about, because I have quite a few of those. Yeah, but Art still has them. I don't.
Art's got
too.
A lot of them.
From a comic book standpoint, though, do you think maybe it was when he was in World's Finest? Or because I know that when DC first brought the character back in the 70s, they tried to have at least the look of the original stuff. And, I mean, you know, they even brought C.C. Beck for the first few. And I want to say, was it E. Nelson Birdwell? Or Bridwell that was writing the stuff from the 70s?
I think it was Len Wein. I got the first few issues here. I think they were Len Wein was writing the first one.
Okay.
Or the guy who killed Robin. What was his name? That guy.
Danny O'Neill, that's right. I know you're right about that. I do remember that Danny was one of the original writers.
Yeah, he was writing them too.
And it was weird because they, you know, it's so strange that they didn't seem to know what to do with Shazam. Because on the one hand, they wanted to make it more modern and relevant, but also you've got this backlog of what made him great, which was, you know, appealing to a kid audience. And that's why I'm really glad that, you know, the bigwigs at DC figured out that maybe Shazam does work best as a kid's series. Do you guys think it works best as a kid's series?
I want to say yes and no, because I like the fact that it's in its own continuity and its own context right now, but Art and I are definitely not treating it as a kid's book. We're treating it as you know, let's tell the best stories that we could possibly tell.
Yeah. And that, for everybody.
Yeah.
All ages.
I was gonna say that all ages is a good way of putting it. I was actually having this conversation with somebody yesterday about I don't know if I was even exposed to the Beck stuff when I was a kid, and I was interested in it, and those comics weren't aimed for kids, and the conversation I was having with somebody was that, you know, back when I was reading comics, like regular comics, you know, there was no differentiation. They were all for kids, technically.
Yeah.
You know, and those were pretty sophisticated comics. So I don't see why. I think the book that Art and Franco are writing is kind of that kind of book. You know, it's not necessarily dumbed down.
Yeah, it's all age adventure for everybody. Because when we read them, we were kids, and these are the same kind of stories. They're not really for little kids, but for everybody, and a little kid or adult. And that's kind of how Shazam always was too.
It's kind of weird because we get asked that question all the time because we're working on the kids side of things for DC. But you know, even with Tiny Titans, we don't dumb things down really. I mean, we know that we're, you know, writing something that's funnier there, and here we're writing something that's, you know, maybe not as funny but more adventurous.
Yes.
And we don't dumb it down. It's just the way it comes out, and we don't really, you know, dumb it down in a way.
Hold on, because like, who's spot welding in the background? Do
I
hear background?
I thought that was you.
I think my wife is washing somebody. I'm just about to go upstairs.
She's watching somebody.
All right, go in a closet somewhere, man, because it's
all
like
my someones are small. Yeah, let me make sure, because I thought that was an interference. You heard my affection for my wife on a podcast. Yeah, is that better? All right.
Now tell your story.
Oh yeah, I was saying that we're writing a funny book. It's gonna, in a few issues from now, there's going to be an actual comedy issue. It's going to be an actual funny issue with a bad guy who's funny. The situations are funny, and the ending's funny. And Mike don't even know what it is yet.
Yeah,
but we're gonna bring in the space ghoul.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell the world that we can write serious superhero, all action, all ages, superhero fun, and we can be funny too if we want.
Well, it's funny because when we first started talking to Mike, when you first started drawing the issue, you said something that kind of stuck out in my brain. You said that you looked at some of the past issues and you're like, wow, there's a lot of words in here. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. That's why I was saying that this book isn't, you can't. And not to do a disservice to the previous artist, I think this thing was drawn overly simplistic because the material, if you read the material, it is not, for one thing, a little kid couldn't read it. I mean, this is like War and Peace to a little kid. You know, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
and there's some actually, I mean, there's actually some scary moments in some of the books, some like, genuine like horror movie moments that were in the last couple of issues, and I was You know, it's all in the execution, I think, and I don't think a lot of people really realize it. I didn't realize it until I took a
game. Yeah, Arsene Fien gets his face melted.
Yeah, the guy gets his face melted off, and they show it.
Yeah, think about the kids, the comics you read when you were a kid. They didn't shy away from stuff like that. They showed you stuff like that, but it's all what makes a good story. You know, why are those books like Goosebumps? Well, maybe I'm dating myself now, but they were all the rage a while ago.
Sure.
But kids love to be scared. I mean, why are they so popular if they're all about, you know, all those scary things? You know, it's an audience that just likes a good story, and that's the way Art and I always approach it.
That's right. I remember my first comic was Spider-Man getting scratched by the jackal. It was real violent-y. And Spidey got knocked out and drugged and cloned, and naked Gwen Stacy was running around. I was about 6 years old, and I loved it. So it's something like that. Like, I get that. If I could give that to my kid now, I would be watching him. But back then, we would just have a great time with that stuff. And then
sure.
He got thrown off. In one of the books, he got thrown off a bridge with chains on him, and the bad guys were on top laughing. You're going to die now. And that was like stuff we read. My first few times ever buying comics, and I got those books. I was like,
yeah.
Man, you got cool, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. And I remember I was 9 years old reading Jerry Conway killing Gwen Stacy. And that blew my mind. That's like, wow, she's really dead. And I was nine.
Yeah.
And it's like, it didn't scar me. It just, I was, you know, it was a first dramatic moment for me. I thought it was pretty cool.
But it was a
yeah, I can't
story. Like, that stands out in your mind even to this day, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, when I came back, Gwen was already dead and Jean Grey was already dead. So when these girls came back, I didn't know who they were, so I had to read about the like Scott Summers and X-Men was still tormented, and I didn't know why, but I liked them a lot. Like he was always crying and about something in every issue. But
that's so interesting, because this is all part of that conversation I was having it with a comic store owner. It's just yesterday, and we were talking about, because he was mentioning all the previously, you know, catch-up pages that Marvel put to the front of their books now, and how he didn't really like those. And I was like, really? I thought that a lot of people did. And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? When I was a kid, there was no previously. You get dropped in the middle of a storyline, and that's what actually made you go buy comics, is that you tried to figure out what was happening.
Yeah, you like the guy who's rooting in the corner,
yeah.
I agree with that. No, I see what you're saying. The, Now, Mike, you mentioned it. There really is a difference now. You're bringing a different art style to the book. And I've seen pages on your blog, and I love the style because I think in a lot of ways it evokes that not only original C.C. Beck style but truly original. Going back to that, you know, Wiz Comics number 2, the first issue that came out with Captain Marvel, because it had that face to it. And, you know, there's a lot more Fred McMurray in your Captain Marvel than what I've seen in the books so far.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but every time I get Mike's pages in the mail, I get all giddy. And I don't know if it's because of his email or his artwork. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I have a picture of what Captain Marvel looks like in my head, and it's all that stuff that I saw when I was a kid. And, I mean, I could go through tons and tons of redesigns till I get a thing that's sort of Shazam, but more of like the new Mike Norton's take on him. But I want to draw a Shazam, you know. I want to draw Captain Marvel the way I remember him. So I'm just doing my way. So there's probably a lot of that in there, and I wouldn't want it any other way, just because it makes it more fun for me to do.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so.
You draw him real good, sir.
Thank you very much.
But when I always thought about Captain Marvel, especially with the Meagle figures, Captain Marvel was always a little more handsome than Superman. And I always thought that if you had the power of all those guys, seven guys or so, and you have all the powers, Captain Marvel should be the best looking human being on the planet.
Sure.
Like, he should have no blemishes, no wrinkles. His hair should be perfect. You know, and when he talks, it should you feel the vibration of his voice. And when I always figure when his cape would move or when he punched, he'd always have like static, like lightning, like shocking. That's how I always imagine him. Like, if he walks in a room slowly and you go close to him, you'll get a static shock, like rubbing your feet on the rug. Just because he's...
That's cool.
If you got all those powers, you would walk in and people say, man, that guy should be on TV, you know? That's the kind of reaction you should have.
That's interesting.
No one would look better.
No, Mike, have you incorporated any of that yet on your in your?
I hadn't, but I'm going to now.
Yeah,
that's actually a really good thing.
Yeah, because he's all charged up. It's like
sure.
It's like my pick for the well one of the best looking men on the planet. I always thought was The Rock, because he just looks awesome.
He's hot.
Sure.
He's got a not to be all like man crushy. But if you picked out one, if an alien came down from space and said, give me an example of the perfect man and the perfect woman so I could take the space with me, I would probably give him The Rock and Salma Hayek. Here, take these two, you know?
I'm a big fan of both. I don't blame you.
Yeah, and here's what we want our human race to look like, you know?
And speaking of that, I've always thought, and I know a lot of other fans too, The Rock would make a great Black Adam.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he'd make a great Namor, too, but I think he'd make an excellent Black Adam.
I want him for Captain Marvel. That's just me. But I know that people would... Black Adam would be awesome.
Let's take a moment from the interview and give me a chance to tell you a little bit about C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, coming April 16th through the 18th to downtown Chicago. The first time in over two decades that a national comics and entertainment convention has come to downtown Chicago. Join thousands of comic book fans, creators, and celebrities for a weekend of fun and excitement in the Windy City. Special guests for this year's show include Alex Ross, Jeff Smith, Jeff Johns, Mike Mignola, Ethan Van Sciver, Ben Temple Smith, and hundreds more of your favorite creators. Tickets are only $25 for a one-day pass and $50 for the entire weekend. For a full list of guests, events, and how to purchase tickets, make sure you visit c2e2.com. But wait, there's more. If you go to c2e2.com/wordballoon, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets and exclusive C2E2 merchandise before the big weekend. We're giving away one amazing VIP package, three weekend passes, five exclusive C2E2 posters signed by creator and guest of honor Alex Ross, and 15 limited edition C2E2 t-shirts. Entering the contest is easy. Just go to c2e2.com/wordballoon and enter your name and email. That's all it takes. We'll be drawing winners from all the entries on March 19th. And that VIP grand prize includes a weekend pass and also lunch with a Marvel editor. It's going to be really nice. So you'll want to enter. Once again, it's c2e2.com/wordballoon. And all you have to do to enter is put in your name and email address. Again, we'll be drawing winners on March 19th. Stay tuned for more exciting news about the official C2E2 after-party plans, including our farewell to our friends at Around Comics. Plus, more ways to win tickets and exclusive merchandise. You can follow C2E2 on Twitter.
Well, and I know Black Adam is coming back with Mike's debut issue. That storyline is coming back into the book now.
Yeah.
And last time we saw Theo Adam, he forgot, much like in regular DC continuity, he doesn't know who he is anymore. And, you know, the foreign exchange student that, doesn't realize that he's got as much power as Billy and Mary do.
He still doesn't know in this issue.
He doesn't remember the magic word.
Yeah.
It was erased from his memory.
Yeah.
In the last run.
Well, we got more stuff coming up in the next couple issues that are, I think people are gonna like freak out when they see what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna be happy or angry, but it's definitely gonna be some shocking stuff coming up.
So that's cool.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, but I know one of the names was revealed in a solicitation that Freddie Freeman's coming.
Yeah.
But all the controversy makes around him are not. I'm not sure yet.
I think he's gonna be on the cover of issue.
Yeah, you'll hear today because I think they're putting out the cover today.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh wow.
Oh, that's gonna be cool. I can't wait. I can't wait for people to yell at us. we're gonna have fans saying, "Oh, that's so awesome," and the other ones like, "You can't do that," you know.
Yeah.
Well, this will be really
enough of that on Green Arrow.
When we told Dan DiDio came to us and asked us if we would, you know, take over the writing on the book. Art and I talked at length about what we wanted to do, and this was one of the first things we came up with. And when I was talking to Art, I'm like, I got goosebumps, and I'm like, are we allowed to do this? You know, because
because this is going to like really mess things up a little bit. He goes, yeah, no, let's just do it. And then we told Dan about it, and I remember distinctly Dan's face when we told him over lunch, and his eyes went real wide, and he said, whoa, wait, that's never been done before. And we're
We know. And then he says, I like the way you guys think big. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, man, we got more stuff. Yeah, it was cool.
It's been building up to now, so like it's cool that Mike's taking on this storyline, because this is kind of where all our building comes to fruition, you know, and we see the big storyline that's going to happen.
Can we talk about the cover, if it's going to cause some waves and everything? I mean, let's does someone have can someone shoot me while we're talking the cover via email?
I'll send it to you right now.
Let's talk about the other villains beyond Black Adam. Are we going to see a mix of both, you know, traditional DC Universe villains, or are you going to stay pretty much in the Marvel Universe?
We're staying with Captain Marvel Universe, because he has a lot of guys from the 40s and 50s that they haven't. I mean, some of the guys we're looking at last appeared in 1953, you know, last year, 1967. So we're taking a lot of those guys and bringing them up front, making them an even bigger threat than they were, you know.
Yeah. We've done a lot of research on all these guys, and we've talked about, Art and I have literally talked about hundreds of guys, you know, that do this or do that, and we honestly have a hard time choosing, because there's just so much there that, you know, and so much fun stuff that can be done.
We got all kinds of, like we said, Space Ghoul earlier, and we already brought back Mia Peck-Leverin, and Mr. Mind came back, and
Mr. Mr. Adam came back, and we brought in already, and we got
Pucky Punch getting more and more developed every issue.
The Arsene is going to come back eventually, and he was like a real low level guy back then, but I think we're going to notch him up to be somebody kind of really menacing.
Yeah, and we got the Vampire Burglar. You got to watch out for him.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so we're taking all the old guys and making them more modern a little bit, but not really altering the character too much. It's kind of like
Mike's favorite is going to be coming up too. The Mad Mummy is going to be coming up eventually.
Yeah, he's coming. Yeah, and we got to try to figure out how to.
Weird and funny. They're all going to be fun to do because they're all so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. and by the way, I'm working on custom Meagle figures of a lot of these guys already. I know they'll never get made into action figures. Make my own.
I was going to say, they'll be great to see at the conventions if you've got them, your designs and everything. Now, there's a question. I mean, because you guys are both artists as well, do you guys have character designs, and do you guys, like, send ideas to Mike? I mean, how does that work now with Mike now being part of the team as far as visually?
Yeah, I made a whole bunch of them. Not really for artists to copy what I did, but just almost like, here's what I think he should look like and the characters look like, but don't copy him. This is just draw your style, you know. I sent it, but it wasn't really a formal, officially thing.
Here's an example. Art and I write, we kind of have, you know, we talk about the characters and we say, okay, this person is going to be doing this and that, and this is what he kind of looks like and stuff. A perfect example was when we brought back Mr. Ben. Well, we thought Mr. Banjo was kind of, you know, too old school, so we kind of modernized him by bringing his son Axe in, we did designs of what Axe would look like for ourselves as writers.
And the Arson team too.
We're very visual because we're artists as well, so like, you know, as we're talking and writing things down, like, you know, Art will just doodle something and just send it to me and say, or he needs this, or something like that, and that's kind of what we're looking for, you know, like, because we need. I don't know about Art, but I think he's the same way. But, you know, we're very visual that way.
Yeah, I don't write anything in script. Everything I ever write is always thumbnails and sketchbook. So a lot of all the script for Captain Marvel comes from Franco's computer. But it's all of our words intermingled. But the way I think anyway is, like, I write everything in sketchbooks. So my sketchbooks are full of little notes and thumbnails. And when I write, I don't need a typewriter or nothing. I just sit there with a little book. So it's real different. It's like, that's just the artist part, you know, because the artist and writer, it was always for me, like more like a cartoonist. It goes hand in hand, and it keeps going. It's the same thing, you know.
I got you. We've seen yeah. Mike's design for the stuff that's coming up, and I have no complaints whatsoever.
But
he sends us stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's it. You know.
I just bought his 24-hour book yesterday. The curse. The curse of the pirate wolf. The were-pirate.
That'd make a good bad guy. You get a were-pirate and stuff like that.
We could do a crossover.
Yeah.
Just gotta put the were-pirate created by Mike Norton.
Okay, so you said no to any Marvel, to any DC Universe non-Marvel villains. I guess that goes for heroes, too, that it's strictly the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, Captain Marvel Universe. Yeah.
Okay, so no other DC heroes or anything like that in the book, or?
No, probably not. Yeah. They said to stick with his universe.
Yeah.
What about other Fawcett heroes that DC might own, like Bullet Man or Spy Smasher? Yeah.
Probably. We're trying to figure out how to get Captain Nazi in it right now. Because I don't know if Nazi is the appropriate term, but we're gonna. Probably Captain War or something like that.
Okay.
You know,
I got
Captain Hate or something like that. But we'll figure out him. But we got researched all of the characters, so there's a lot of them we like, and we'll be putting them in there.
Yeah.
I don't know about Uncle Dudley though. I'm not sure about him.
How come?
That's the only guy I don't like. I don't know.
You just don't like him.
It always bugged me, like when you're watching Family Ties. And, like, the Keaton's mom, their grandparents come. They're like, oh, man. Or you're watching Brady Bunch, and Mrs. and Mrs. Brady's parents come. Like, man, I used to hate those episodes. And I don't know why. It's just a wasted one. Because it's always about the grandparents doing something, and they always have problems with bills or something.
It's almost like the writer took the day off.
Yeah. Like, I always hate it when they bring the grandparents in. And so he's kind of like that. He's got that. That vibe for me. Like, I don't like him.
You don't want to see Uncle Dudley trying to figure out his AARP membership card and stuff. You know,
yeah.
That's like a good issue. Okay.
Like, what kind of problems could he have that kids would actually want to read? You know.
Uncle Dudley's Sore Feet, Chapter 7.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
You know what? We could always make him into like one of Pocketani's buddies. And maybe you could go out with him, and you see early in the book, he picks him up, they go out, and then he drops him off at home. He's like, hey, thanks, buddy, see you tomorrow, you know? That's about it. One of Tony's buddies.
All right, now I'm looking at the cover. That's going to shock the world.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that for a second. Now, it looks like Freddy is back, but Freddy is all charged up and seems to have the powers of Black Adam.
Yes.
And Black Adam, obviously, in the background, fully charged and back again as well.
Yeah, man.
Yes. Black Adam Jr.
Yikes.
I told you were going to be shocked and scared and awed.
It hurts you a little bit, doesn't it?
Wait till the crocodile eats him.
But it is Freddy. It's not Osiris. Or is he going to go by Osiris?
No.
It eats his alarm clock, so you always hear the crocodile ticking after the issue.
Very nice, Peter Pan. Very good. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's very thrilling. I'm sure that we're going to have to read the issues to find out more and to explain this unbelievable transformation. What do you want to say about the cover other than it looks great?
I think Mike Norton did an awesome job with it.
Mike Norton's my hero.
I want to be him. I want to be Mike Norton.
No, you don't want to.
I want to be with him.
I want to be on what?
Well, this isn't going right.
Yeah, he's
I like
cool.
No, it's a very iconic cover, Mike. Congratulations. I think that's terrific.
Oh, thanks.
Mike sent the preview cover for issue 16. I'm going to look at it right now.
Oh, yeah.
It looks real good.
Working.
I wish I could tell you about this.
He's interviewing us as we're doing work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. When does this come out, April?
The one that we sent you would be March, I believe.
So this will be late March that this issue comes out.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm trying to remember, was Freddy... When in the original story, Freddy was found like in a boat, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember how the hell.
Captain Nazi smacked him with an oar.
Right.
Yeah. He got smacked with an oar. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. And Captain Marvel saved him and brought him to Shazam and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are you changing Freddy's origin and everything? Obviously.
We can neither confirm nor deny that will take.
He does not get smacked with an oar, and they don't go fishing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's go boating.
They might have a set in Orlando. There should be a scene where he gets smacked with an oar now, though.
Yeah.
You know, put that in
there. Ow. Slap him right in the leg. Right in the knee. That would be the worst.
Right in the
knee. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing in my knee, man?
So, hey, guys, from a writing standpoint, does are Billy and Cap, are they two separate personas, and or are they, you know, is Cap still Billy inside?
Yeah,
he's Billy. He's a big giant Captain Marvel thing, like thinks like a 10-year-old boy. Him and Mary still fight.
Did a Malibu Comics Prime that did that too?
Yeah,
that was kind of a Shazam sort of rip off. Well, not rip off.
Yeah.
But,
oh, absolutely.
They borrowed it.
Yeah.
But we're doing it better.
Yeah. We're doing it with the original guy.
Yeah.
The original boy hero.
Oh, well, let's talk about Mary. We haven't talked about Mary at all. Is that okay, keeping Mary a little girl and everything? Do you like that idea?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her small.
Things are going to happen, though, eventually.
There's going to be one issue that's going to make you question if she's small.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Wow, you guys are shaking stuff up. That's very cool.
Yeah, man. We got to go for the all ages.
They're not writing a little kitty book.
We're not writing tiny. Well, no, wait, we are writing tiny.
Oh, we are. We're doing that one. But all ages means we're going to get, she's small for the little kids, but the people who remember her when she first appeared, those old guys are going to see it and say, wait a minute, she's back, you know, that kind of thing. So we got to get the all age crowd, the old guys and the young guys.
That's cool. Have you heard from old time Shazam fans in terms of what they like and what they don't like?
Not much. Yeah, because the first books that we worked on kind of hit right at the end of the convention season last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we didn't really get, you know, that much reaction from people other than, you know, they were just starting to pick it up and stuff like that.
But you know what happens is when I meet older, like my parents' friends, and they ask me, oh, what are you working on with DC, Superman or Batman? I'm like, I work with Tiny Titan, and they have no clue what it is. And then they say, but we're writing the, you know, Shazam, Captain Marvel. The guy says, Shazam, Billy Batson. They're like, yeah, I know that. So it's kind of like a few more people recognize Captain Marvel than Tiny Titan when I talk to the general audience, you know.
Sure. Well, and I know the older audience, you're right. I mean, there's a reason why DC back in the 50s sued Fawcett, and it's because Captain Marvel was outselling Superman.
Yeah, that's right.
My dad was a huge Captain Marvel fan, which cracked me up. And it's like, hey, Captain Marvel. And I remember in the 70s, I was a little kid when they first started reprinting the old Fawcett stuff in those giant dollar Treasury Edition comics.
Yeah.
And my dad was almost as excited as I was. He's like, oh, my God, I haven't seen Captain Marvel in years. Let me look at that.
Yeah.
And he was laughing, and it was great. But this is I'm very interested that you know, as far as you guys are concerned, the Marvel Universe is kind of a blank slate for you guys to kind of play in, and now kind of take this from stage one and go into any direction you want. Well, that's very freeing. That's fantastic.
Well, yeah, one of the things that, you know, Art and I talked about was if we don't want to rehash anything that's been done. You know, we kind of want to hold true to the values of you know what they did. But we want to do really good storytelling and the opportunity to have a completely blank slate. I mean, how many people in the comic industry really get that, you know?
Sure.
I don't think anybody really does. And you know, Art and I get to play in two very distinctive sandboxes. You know, we have Tiny Titans here, which is its own universe altogether. And then we have Captain Marvel, which is a true, you know, all-American superhero with a completely blank slate. And it's just... And we get the added benefit that a lot of people know who he is, rather than just starting up from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, on the one hand, it's easy to say that you guys can take kind of an ultimate Captain Marvel take on this, but actually, I think it's even more along the lines of what Dynamite is doing with Project Superpowers, where people might know the name and the costume, but that's about all the history that they know about a character, and you guys can really take it and turn these characters into whatever you want.
Oh yeah, man.
That's
and our
really...
book had its own, and our book had its own cartoon and TV show. But we're just the book just came out like 20 years later, you know.
Well, you know, and there have been some classic stories. And actually, didn't I read that they reprinting finally the Monster Society of Evil like that
the
was,
original
that,
one?
Yeah, that was that big. That was the big epic, you know, story. And it's funny because you know, people point a Crisis on Infinite Earths and all that stuff. This thing was 25 parts and came out, you know, back in the 40s.
Yeah, I think they're coming out with a big solid edition.
If not, we'll just rewrite it and put it in our book.
Yeah, there you go.
And Mike Martin draw 25 issues of Monsters. We're gonna have a big build-up. Yeah.
How about the Lieutenant Marvels? Are they ever gonna make an appearance?
Art and I have actually talked about them.
We looked at them and laughed at them, but
that's
one guy just called Fat Marvel or something.
Yeah, Fat. Yeah, there's Tall Billy, Fat Billy, and Hillbilly.
Yeah.
Got a cowboy hat on, right?
How much fun can Mike have?
Yep.
One of the guys wears green. It's weird. Yeah, I remember something.
All right, I'm putting in, if you're going to do Fat Billy, then I hope I get the Principal Suntress treatment and I get to be Fat Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Real Fat Marvel, I'm looking at Fat Marvel and waiting because they all squint. He, you know, you put a little different haircut on him and he does kind of look like you. I'm not saying that because they don't draw him to look. I mean, I'm looking at his face. He doesn't look like he's, you know.
We might go politically correct. We'll go politically correct and call him Thick Marvel.
Husky.
Big boned Marvel.
Fat Marvel, like PHAT Marvel, you know?
Yeah. Thick Marvel.
I think Hillbilly Marvel should have, like, you know, the Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber haircut on him, though. You know, the one with the bowl straight across.
We'll do those. maybe we'll switch and we'll have Mike write a few issues and we'll switch.
Yeah,
people will be mad that Mike left the book. Then we'll have to go back to him drawing it. Yeah, it'd be good.
is there a would you see a time when you maybe want to put Mary Marvel or Junior into Tiny Titans?
He's already in.
Yeah, I think she probably could be now.
Oh, I haven't. Has Junior been in Tiny Titans?
Yeah, Junior's been in two issues so far.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
And the first time he was looking for his bunny, for Hoppy, and he didn't find him. And then the next time he found him and brought him to the pet club.
Yeah.
So he's been in two issues. And he's always just been in one or two pages, you know, so he just appears. And that's just to stir up people, too. Because it seems like whenever we put something in Tiny Titans, just real random and just in the background, people blog about it all crazy. They're like, hey, you know what? Titan Titans brought back the Protector. And they're like, who's the Protector, you know? we bring back, like, Star, what's her name? Flamebird?
Flamebird.
We put her in there, and people were blogging all about her. And so it's kind of cool.
You know what we should really do to shake people up? We should have Mike draw an issue of Tiny Titans, and then you draw an issue of Billy Batson.
Yeah, we should.
And people just flip out.
That'd be awesome.
That would be very cool, actually, if you guys did that.
Yeah,
well, and also,
be a Mary Marvel issue.
Well, that's the thing. And, Mike, this is a great opportunity for you to really, like, you know, do a lot of these, like, first new looks for a bunch of these Marvel characters that, like we're saying, haven't been seen since, like, the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are many, many advantages to doing this book. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that I'm doing it. So, I mean, that's probably one of them right there. I mean, they're letting me... I haven't had a whole lot of chances so far in my career to get to do pretty much whatever I want artistically, and that's kind of what they're letting me do on this. So
yeah,
and it's been fun. So
who's your editor for this book?
Chris
Who do you
Conroy?
Guys answer to?
Chris Conroy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Conroy.
He used to have to end a deal.
Chris with Mike. We got.
What was the deal. Was there any editorial guide in terms of, you know, you can do this, you can't do this? Other than make it fun and make it, you know, interesting?
Artistic-wise?
Both ways.
Not really. They gave us the Jeff Smith book, The Trade.
Right.
And Dan wrote on there, and I opened the flap, and there was a post-it note and said, read this and tell us what comes next.
Yeah.
That's all he wrote on there. And I'm like, okay. And then that's what we've been doing. So it's kind of... That's the only editorial notes we had, pretty much.
And originally what happened was, you know, because we were supposed to do the book on and off with Mike.
Right.
Yeah, Mike Kunkel, yeah.
And, you know, as far as we knew, we were going to be trading off issues. You know, when he got them done, we would have ours, and then, you know.
Sure.
And then, you know, like, before the end of the month, we, you know, Dan came to us and said, just you know, give us what happens next chronologically, and just go from there. And I don't think we, Art, I don't even know if we ever asked him, you know, what do you want or anything. We just kind of just picked up the ball and just ran with it. And
yeah.
We didn't get any feedback, you know, as to bad, you know, no, don't do this or anything. So
yeah,
I liked what we were doing.
Yeah, you guys said to make them old, like how the stories were in the Silver Age. That's what he said.
And, you guys, do you guys
heroes and villains?
No, say that again. Heroes and villains, you said?
Well, yeah, like, heroes and villains, action superhero stories. That's what he wanted.
Okay. Do you feel like you've tied up whatever loose ends were there as far as what Mike left and are able to, like, kind of, you know, do your own thing now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're big fans of Mike Kunkel, and I read all of them. I couldn't wait for them to come out. And we had ideas for Black Adam, but we had to wait to see how he wrapped up his story.
Yeah.
You know, so we could continue where we pick up ours later.
Right.
So that was the biggest challenge, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually the story that Mike Norton is doing now is what the story that we came up with for Black Adam back then, like when we first started talking about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, where Mike left Theo and everything, you guys can come in, and he's Theo Adam again, so it's not like...
Yeah.
What about length of stories? Because it is an all-ages book, how do you approach it as far as writing per issue versus, you know, an entire arc?
We do shorter stories, maybe like done-in-one-issue stories.
Sure.
Or to continue, but we have to keep in mind the six-issue collectible trade paperback format. So we have to, like, wrap everything up within a six-issue. We can't leave, like, issue six where it leaves off where you have to buy the next trade to continue. We have to have,
of course,
you know, an ending to our six-issue block.
We do, like, a main story within the six issues, but, you know, if you come in on, you know, issue number 14, you know, there's still remnants. And I think, I don't know, you'd have to ask Mike Norton about this, but, you know, I think we do a pretty good job of explaining, you know, what happened to these characters before.
Yeah.
Because we keep remnants of what happened, you know, with the storyline going. And hopefully we've done that. But you'd have to ask,
yeah.
You have to draw the book now.
But you're writing a middle chapter to kind of stand on its own then? Is that a fair way to put it? Or?
All chapters are, you know, all stories need to stand on their own, but we also have to take into account that all of these characters, you know, with Jeff Smith and then Mike Kunkel and now us, they all have history.
Right,
yeah.
You know, so we have to take into account, like, you know, for Theo, for example, he comes into issue number 14 not knowing that he's Black Adam, you know, and we have to deal with that. How do we deal with that?
When Mike's story starts, issue 13, it'll be the first story of the next trade.
Right.
You know, I think there'll be two trades come on. He'll have, I think, trade number three. It'll be, it'll start with Mike Martin's story, which the first, I think the first trade comes out in March or April, I think.
I think February.
And it has it has the first four Mike Kunkel books, and then ours, issue 5 and 6, which we've tried to wrap up his story a little bit.
Uh-huh.
We had to write a story for issue 5 and 6 that would wrap his up or continue his, but then it would end at issue 6. So our issue 7 has a new adventure start there too. So that's kind of like how we write. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, like you said.
Hanging.
Okay. So then Mike's first issue wraps up, like you said, and then now I'm confused. So just
it's the beginning
Mike's,
of a new story.
Well, we
okay, fine. There we go.
It's the beginning
you
of
said
a new 14. Story, but it builds up on older stuff.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a regular guy.
Why are you asking the writers? The artist can explain so much better the weekend.
Clearly.
Time to take a moment to talk about a great convention coming up, put on by our friends at InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. The Summit City Comic Con. It's coming May 22nd, a one-day show, $10 for admission, an intimate artist-focused show, and hosted at the Grand Wayne Center in downtown Fort Wayne. It's a beautiful convention house, and it's going to be a great convention. The guest list includes Art Balthazar, Mike Norton, Matt Kent, Tim Seeley, Robert Atkins, Nate Powell, Steve Bryant, Chris Burnham, Jim Rugg, Ryan Stegman, Katie Cook, Dave Wachter, and many more. Plus, there'll be publisher presence and involvement from Dark Horse, Boom, and Top Shelf. It's going to be a great day, and we hope to see you there. Word Balloon's going to be there. I know a bunch of other podcasters will as well. The Summit City Comic Con in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The one-day show is May 22nd, and it's only $10. It's going to be a great time. I hope to see you there at the Grand Wayne Center in downtown Fort Wayne, May 22nd.
Now, you know, you guys have written a couple stories in the DC Christmas issues and a couple of the 80-page Giants and stuff. What have been the proper DC Universe stories that you, Art, and Franco have written so far?
We did a Nightwing Robin story.
Right, last Christmas, I remember, or two Christmases ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
We did Bruce Wayne Batman story in the last Halloween book. So that was a retro story. And we did a little thing called Ambush Bug, too.
Yeah, Ambush Bug. I got to draw the book.
Okay. I didn't know that. When did you guys do Ambush Bug?
Ambush Bug number 7.
Number 7 of 6 we did.
It was a lot.
Yeah. It's over 6 and they went right to 7, yeah. So it was kind of cool because we were all on a conference call with Keith Giffen and Dan DeDeal, and he went through every page, and most of the pages are the ones that he just didn't want to draw anymore. Or he couldn't finish, or they got changed or something.
Okay.
So he said, instead of him trying to change it again, yeah, he would said, here, I want you to draw these pages. And I'm like, okay. And then explain each panel what I had to draw in there. And he wanted to confuse everybody, you know. And, like, the character I was drawing was looking for Ambush Bug. So I guess the art style to be different was, like, he was not connected to the, issue itself, I guess. I don't know what they would think it. But after the conference call, we talked for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. After the conference call, Dan DeDeal called me back, and he told me, he said, did you understand that? I go, yeah. He goes, man, I'm glad you wrote notes, because I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
Well,
I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
No, I've had the pleasure and fascination of talking to Keith Giffen. So, yeah, that's got to be, you know, because I love Keith. He's awesome, and I think he's a hell of a writer. He's a wonderful artist, obviously. But, you know, really, really is his own man. And I wonder, I mean, did you ever hear back? Was he cool with what you guys did and everything? Was he happy with
it? Yeah, he liked it as I was turning it in. He kept saying it would look cool. And I like talking to the guy, too, because, like, I like to, before the interviews, I get all charged up with Red Bulls and coffee, just so that goes with the flow. And he was already charged up before I even got on the phone. So I could feel his energy, so he was really cool.
You know, to set up interviews with him, I'm not like he doesn't have email, and so you literally have to call him to set up an interview. And it's like usually like be ready to interview him then, because more times than not, it's like, can we just do it now? And it's like, oh, okay, you know, So literally, like, yeah, I've got to be ready for, like, you know, and sometimes I'll be like, you know, Keith, we might go, like, 40 minutes. He's like, no, that's cool. I'm like, all right.
The first time I ever met him was at a comic book show, and I wanted to go up and, like, introduce myself and just, you know, talk to him and, you know, created Lobo and all that stuff, you know? And,
sure.
This little kid comes up to him with that book where Lobo's giving the middle finger, you know? And, and he was just incensed. He was like, how old are you? You know, the kid, I think, was, like, 11 years old, and he goes, where'd you get this book? And the kid's like, my mom bought it for me. He goes, your mother bought you this book? Where is she? And he stopped doing whatever he was doing. And he took the kid by the hand. He's like, take me to your mother. And I'm like, ooh. I wanted to follow him to see what transpired there, but I was afraid.
The one book that I did a Marvel book with him, and he, I never had a script. He described it to me over the phone like Art was talking.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I thought that was the weirdest thing because I hadn't done a whole lot yet. And here I was expecting to get a script, and instead I was just on the phone with him for about an hour writing down things that he said. Like, yeah, on this page you're going to do this.
Yeah, that's what it was like, yeah.
All right, so we must do that with Mike so I don't have to send him a script anymore?
Yeah, I could scan the thumbnails I got.
And not to embarrass the guys, Mike, but how different is it? Right, you know, drawing for them as opposed to some of the other writers that you've had to draw for.
Well, you know what? It's funny you ask that because I was surprised at how not different it was. I was expecting, you know, because I mean, I know Art, I know Franco, but I don't know him. I mean, Art lives here.
Sure.
I see him more often, but I was expecting because when you see them, they're so on and funny and stuff. I was expecting it to be like a Keith Giffen situation where they call you up and it was over and you're like, what did they just say? And
yeah, oh yeah, man, page two, man, just, okay.
And,
no, I'm happy.
Little does Mike know that from now on that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, now that we know he could work that way.
A whole
we're
going to
do a book a week.
I don't have to type things down anymore. That's awesome.
The script was just like every other script that I've ever got. I mean, it's very
no, it
detailed.
Wasn't. It was
and
better, you know it.
We took some Chris Claremont and some Stan Lee and Kirby and mixed it up and gave it to Mike.
Awesome. I really want you guys to go Alan Moore on him then and, like, you know, put out a phone book script.
But then we'd have to take our name off everything.
Oh, but that means I get all the money.
You get that co-hyphen before all your credits.
Yeah. You'll get paid in Sean McKeever beer.
Oh, no.
McKeever. I
don't
get
nothing.
Yeah, I miss Sean McKeever.
Yeah, I want to have him.
Whatever happened to that guy?
We need him on this book, too.
I heard he turned 60, like, last week or the week before. Is that true?
74, actually.
Wow.
I've heard that as well, exactly. He looks really good on stage.
He's 74 McKeever years.
In McKeever years.
Yeah, he's 74 McKeever years. Yeah. He's going to get mad we're talking about. So why are you guys talking about me?
Oh, no, he's very happy. That's all right. He's happy. He's doing Nomad in the back of Captain America. He is happy about that. I know.
He's doing Nomad in the back of Captain America.
Ew. All kinds of ways.
That's not all ages talk. Shame on you.
I'm on a sketch set right now. I'm even going to go old school and fax it to Mike to draw.
I've heard on Artist Alley from other artists how weird some requests have been. And obviously, given the display that you have, you guys have at your booth when you set up and everything, have you ever gotten any weird, like, kind of kinky kind of, like, requests?
Yes.
Are we allowed to say it on here?
Sure you can.
I remember the one in Florida that you got that just made me laugh hysterically. Can I tell it? It's funny. I'm going to tell it.
He swears. This is the one you swear. I'm not going to say it, but you could, because I don't ever want to be quoted.
Because
this is digital. Just use the word blanking.
Blanking.
And then you're good. Okay.
All right, that's fine. All right, use the word blanking. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but don't use your real words. I know the story he's going to tell you. Just be smirking. Or Shazamming it. Or something like that.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm definitely not going to say that. I don't want to tell the story now. I'm all embarrassed.
I think I must demand that you tell the story.
You do.
Yeah.
We were at some show and we kept getting the weirdest requests for, like, you know, can you draw, like, you know, Robin doing something? And I'm like,
naked Batgirl, naked Supergirl, naked Wonder Woman. That's what we're doing.
I'm like, no, you know. But the requests were coming, like, constantly. Can you draw Kitty Pryde in the shower, you know, soaping up? And Art's like, no. And it just kept coming, like, all day. It was just one of those weird days where, you know, these requests just kept coming.
From different people.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And this guy comes up and he goes, can you draw a monkey and a squirrel? And Art goes, yeah, you want me to draw them smurfing? And the guy just looked at him and said, no, I just want a monkey and a squirrel.
Yeah, I'm like, no, man, I want your characters. I'm like, oh, okay. when I was at that time, I was mad.
Yeah, because it had been just like a constant barrage all day long. And he's like, these people today, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you've seen, there are those, like, porn cartoon websites and stuff where they do, like, you know, Dirty Flintstones, Dirty Simpsons, whatever.
Try not to go to those.
This one guy was asking me all day to draw I Dream a Genie with no clothes on.
Okay.
I'm like, I can't do it. And his price kept going up and up.
Yeah.
It was the same weekend. And he said, well, I'll give you $20. I can't do it. I'll give you $30. No, I can't do it. I think I got him up to $75. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And so I drew the bottle with the smoke coming out with her eyes. And then I said, you got to give me the money, and you're, I did it for real good, you know. And then he gave me it, and then he goes, what's this? I guess she naked. She was covered in smoke. But he liked the drawing, and he was like, damn, he got me. I'm like, man, well, you got me too. that was the only time I ever drew anybody naked.
I always wonder about those requests, because, I mean, I've got the things like that before, and I always wonder when when you ask for a sketch of Witchblade naked, you have to wonder, how do you know it's Witchblade?
Yeah.
Naked girl at that point.
The only one you can tell, She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk's the only one. And you gotta have a crayon.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
very nice.
No, naked
I've never done Jesus.
Yeah. I actually drew Jesus and Obama on the same picture.
Okay.
Yeah. I did a lot of Obamas before he became president. So it was crazy. 1 year.
I'd actually, Art, you really should do like a whole president's like timeline of like, you know, all the different presidents and stuff, the way you do your group sketches and stuff, which is like at cons, those are my favorite sketches that you do, is when you do like the Superman family and you'll just do all the different Superman characters and stuff. And
that's fun stuff. They get sold right away. Like I put them on a table and they're gone. First guy
comes up,
buys them. And it's fun stuff.
No, I was going to say, you did a bunch, I had you do a group shot of the Tiny Titans.
That's right.
So
yeah, that was a good one, too. We got an all-super issue coming out in Tiny Titans, but every superhero, Superman-related character you could think of is going to be in it.
That's cool. Yeah, let's talk, I mean, we haven't had a chance really to talk about Tiny Titans. Let's talk about that real fast.
Real fast, like Kid Flash? Yeah, we're doing real good. We're gonna have a lot of fun with this. We're looking at drawing all the time like that, real fast.
What's coming up in Tiny Titans? All Superman issue. So every character that's been involved with Superman is going to be in this issue?
Yeah, and Superboy, too. Superboy's comeback issue 25. We wrote an issue with Jeff Johns.
Yeah, I saw the mention of that. Yeah, that was very exciting.
Didn't he send you like a 68-page script on that?
Yeah. And I took my Sharpie and crossed out stuff, sent them back. So I don't like this. Change this. But it's an unofficial Black Knight tie-in. So it's cool. It really is. People think I'm lying, but it really is. You get to see a bunch of Green Lanterns. The Green Lantern Corps in it. Superboy returns, of course.
No, you just...
He brings Match. Yeah.
He brings Match.
Match. Yeah, the Bizarro clone. He is definitely the Tiny Titans version of Match. That's what Jeff always referred to him as. Oh, I love the Tiny Titans version of Match. All right, so that means he's different than the regular one. But they all are. But it's fun. It was so much fun.
Any other story ideas that you can tell us about?
We got Babysitting Crisis coming up. And we have Calibax coming to go to the school.
An exchange student from...
Yeah, we're going to have New Gods issue.
Genesis.
Yeah, and it was a request by Dan. Put the New Gods in there. All right. And then we got the Green issue coming up St. Patrick's Day. All the green characters are going to be in it. Killer Croc now. Killer Croc and Beast Boy and Miss Martian. And Gizmo, because he wears a green hoodie. But they're all in it. And what else we got? We got the Curly Hair issue.
Yes,
all about curly hair.
Curly hair.
Yeah. You can't do that in any other DC title right now. You can't have a book just about curly hair.
So who are the... Well, let's see. Jericho? Who are the curly-haired people in Tiny Titans?
Got Jericho and...
Starfire. You got a perm.
Starfire gets a perm. And then you got Duella Dent.
Starfire gets a perm. And then who?
Yeah. Duella. Duella Dent.
Yeah, sure. Okay, no. Harley Quinn, absolutely.
Yeah, and the,
or not Harley Quinn, excuse me. She was the old Harlequin back in the 70s. But
And Mammoth's sister, I forget her name now. How can I forget her name? But she's got a yellow dress on and orange hair. It's kind of like Typhoid or something. No, it's not Typhoid. I forget her name. But then, I'm not thinking, see? And then, I guess the Red Bull's cooling off. And then, who else is curly? There's like four characters on the cover. I'm going to look at my sketchbook right now. Be go amongst yourselves. The Civil War. Was it a war? Was it civil? I'll be back.
Mike, is this doing Shazam? Is that going to keep you? Is that pretty much all you can handle on your schedule?
I wouldn't say it's all I can handle, but it's all I'm going to handle for a little while. I think that the days of two books a month might be not the norm anymore. But
well, that's good.
I'm not ruling out doing some other stuff here and there.
Okay. Because you have two pugs a month now, right?
Yeah, I've got two pugs that I've got to take care of. So.
Yeah, Mike just rescued a new pug, and everyone, maybe listeners might have heard of Ninja, but Ninja's got a playmate now. What's Ninja's playmate's name?
Mo. But
Mo what?
Mo Vengeance is his last name.
Mo Vengeance.
Yeah, Mo Vengeance.
You know, people are just going to flip out when they see these pages. I know that, you know, I've talked to Art about this. Like, you know, we get new pages and we're like little kids, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we call each other up like, oh, my God, did you see those pages Mike just sent us? We're like, yeah, they're awesome. You know?
Yeah.
Well, thanks. That's not really nice of you.
Yeah, you're good. He's my new favorite artist.
No, I think I hope
people like it. I think people ought to notice the book, and that's what I'm trying to do, because, I mean, it is something that I don't know if necessarily everybody's hip to how interesting the book actually is.
I think Tiny Titans had its own style, and I think following what Kunkel and Smith did in the book and everything, like you guys said, I think you guys had to kind of bridge that style to get to your own thing. But now it's obviously it has a very distinct look to it, and I think people that might not have liked what they saw before should give you a chance, because I think it goes into, as you guys say, a more all-ages style versus a this is obviously for kids.
Yeah, I mean, I can't hide the fact that I'm more of a superhero artist, but so hopefully that appeals to more of the mainstream fans. But also at the same time, I'm getting a like I said before, I'm getting to do more of a out there kind of thing. I'm getting to play around some more too. So it is definitely a unique thing. So hopefully it'll satisfy everybody.
That's the thing. I think that was the original magic of the character was that it could appeal to both levels. It was always it was always meant for kids, but it was also always a great adventure story as well. And I think your art style will fit that. In a way that maybe Jeff Smith and Kunkel's styles didn't.
Well,
yeah, I think if people don't like the writing on those books, they should still pick it up because of Mike's artwork. It's just that.
Yeah. They don't even have to put words in this issue. Yeah. It's so awesome.
Yeah, they should just put the artwork out without any of the
words.
They
just print it like that.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So it starts February 25th. And so, like, basically, and you know, monthly, we're gonna be seeing it near the end of the month each month. The new team. This is great.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh yeah, man.
So
oh, yeah.
Well, and I now 2/3 of you I see on a well, actually, Art. It's, you know, I don't see you that much, but I'm sure I'll see you more. And what you guys are always at conventions. What's your convention schedule like?
We have, I think, one or two a month this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm booked all the way till October, I think.
We're going to be in Florida at a store signing for the release of Tiny Titans number 25 that week, MegaCon. I'm going to be in Boston. I think, Mike, you're...
I'll be there, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Cool. And then E2E2, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
I'm going to be at Fort Wayne this year. Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I'll be at Fort Wayne. I will see you guys at Fort Wayne. That's cool.
Oh, cool. San Diego, of course. I'm going to be at the Wizard World of Chicago. I'm looking at the calendar right now. New York.
You
know, New York's in October. That's crazy.
Yeah. HeroCon, I think we're going to be at HeroCon, or I am at least. I don't know about Art.
Yeah. Mid-Ohio Con.
Yeah.
MegaCon. The Jimmy
Not WonderCon,
Con.
Though?
What's that?
WonderCon, San Francisco?
I was going to. I wanted to, but I'm going to more shows this year, and it seems like they're all blocked in, like, the April, March area.
Yeah.
So unless I just want to get no work done, I gotta skip.
I do that too. I have about 3 weeks between shows right now, and they keep getting filled up though.
Yeah, March and April are gonna be pretty tough for me, but after that it's only like once a month. So.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm free for September right now. Nothing September.
All right, convention people. There we go. Let's start a con. It's a good excuse to get Art out there, man.
Fly me, give me some food, give me a bed to sleep in, and I'll be there.
There you go.
That's all my requests. And Red Bull in the morning. Sugar-free room. Sugar-free Red Bull. Some coffee. You know.
You got to watch out, because fans are going to bring you that stuff, too.
I know they are.
That's true. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they will.
The
circle peanuts. You don't know how many boxes of crayons we got this year as gifts.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Every show. I bring home. I got to send a box home. The crayons because I can't fit him in my luggage.
Chance I've gotten, I've actually had to start lesson plans with my high school students using crayons because I have so many of them.
Yeah,
done.
Franco, are your kids aware of your other life as a comic book writer?
Well, you make it sound so dirty, but
Well, no, it's your secret identity.
Some of them do. Some of them do, and they're pretty cool about it. They kind of freak out when they first find out because, you know, I'm a real jerk, you know. But then they find out I'm a comic book artist and writer, and they're like, "Oh, you're not bad, you know."
Yeah.
You're pretty cool, I guess. You know,
actually kind of cool.
Yeah. You have all that teen angst in the high school years, but some of them know and some of them don't, and others just don't care, I guess.
And Franco, are we ever going to see any pinups or anything, or any of your art in any of the DC books anytime soon?
Yeah, man, I do occasional stuff in the back of Titans there with Artie, and Art and I just did the cover for the Free Comic Book Day, the kids sampler.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
All right, man. We had a free one to give away.
Yeah.
And
it was
we
cool.
Put as many guys in here as we could.
I got to draw Superman and Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman and Flash, and it was cool. So it's kind of historic because it's the first cover Art and I have done together for DC.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I'm gonna hit Franco up for some art at C2E2 then when I see him there.
Yeah, I might be busy.
Yeah.
I remember at the beginning of the interview you called me N. Franco, so
that's true. That's true. Actually, my favorite picture, and actually I didn't take it. It was in New York, and it was a picture of it was when we were doing floor interviews for Newsarama, and it was Pete from Comic Book Club talking to Art. And he, you know, Art's in heavy conversation with Pete. And Franco, you just have this awesome, just kind of, hey, kind of look on your face. And it really, you know, and God only knows what your hands were doing at the moment that you had that smile on your face.
What
but I said that.
That
I'm like,
mean, come on.
That's cool. He's always doing something with his hands. Good. That's how we are. We're hands-on blue-collar guys.
Come on. This is a kid's interview right here.
I understand.
That's right.
I'm sorry, man. Well,
slipping and flapping.
I think we did well here. I think this will work. I appreciate the time on a Martin Luther King holiday that you're spending talking to me instead of like either seeing a movie or watching the usual traditional Martin Luther King festivities.
Oh, I was doing all the and typing in the script at the same time as I was talking to you guys. So.
Yeah, we're gonna go see a movie. I'm taking my kids to see The Princess and the Frog.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, either that one or the Squeakquel, but.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I know that The Princess and the Frog got nominated yesterday for something, so I
gotta
think that might
be
a better one.
The Tooth Fairy movie.
All right, how about any of like the action movies that came out over Christmas? Have you guys seen Sherlock Holmes?
That's what I was going to see today, but then I forgot that we were doing this, so I'm not going to watch
it. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. There you go.
No, it's not your fault. It's my fault.
Funny because my deal is when I go see Avatar, and I'm like, oh, I can't. I got to do an interview. So.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Arnold Schwarzenegger called it Avatar yesterday. The new movie Avatar. Avatar, he called it.
Avatar.
This and that and Avatar and this and that.
Yeah, really. I should really, Art, I should make you go through your litany of voices and stuff. All right, Marlon Brando, please, is Jor-El.
Here he is. Ready?
Go.
That is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's my favorite thing, and especially like when I saw the Superman sketch, you're pointing at Jor-El, you're like, look.
I think that has to be one of the biggest freak-out moments we've ever had from the brass at DC, was when Art and I showed up as Jor-El and Superman for a panel.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Dan DiDio's eyes nearly, like, you know, fell out of his skull.
I think
everyone comes up to us and says, oh, yeah. Dan saw us in those get-ups, and he just turned and he said, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was weird because at the panel, they asked us all the Superman questions. And we had answers, you know?
Which was this at?
That was Chicago Con.
Chicago, yeah.
Wizard World, yeah. And usually my answers end with, I like pink very much, Lois.
Fantastic.
I think there's pictures out there somewhere if anybody wants to blackmail us, I'm sure.
We should do that again and dress Mike Norton like Zod, General Zod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have to start making a third costume, exactly. Or does your who's your roadie for when you guys set up and everything.
That's Jimmy the Muscle.
Jimmy the Muscle.
Thank you, Jimmy the Muscle, exactly. Yeah. Does Jimmy the Muscle have a costume rack as well?
Hey, Jimmy once. To wear a scarf, and he said, "Hey, we're no scarf man." I don't ask him no more.
You have to argue with Jimmy the Muscle. He said something.
No, I don't.
I respect.
Like, I'll bring costumes to shows and give everyone their suit, and then I'll just put Jimmy's on his bed, you know, like,
sure.
And say, "Jimmy, you want to wear that?" There you go. He goes, "I'm not wearing it." Okay, that's true. That's how I'll deal with Jimmy. You don't want to wear it. He won't be happy. He'll do it for me, but he won't be happy. I want Jimmy happy. He needs a slap bullet on an instinct and not think about it.
God.
Yeah, he scares me a little bit, but it's all right. I've got you to it now.
All right, boys. Well, we will see you on the convention road. And in the meantime, thank you for this lovely conference call interview.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes. No problem. Amen.
So there you go, the creative team of Art, Franco, and Mike, all on Billy Batson, The Power of Shazam. The new issue comes out this Wednesday. Look for it at your local store or get it through Diamond, InStockTrades.com, whatever way it takes to get it. It looks like it's going to be a very interesting direction for Billy Batson and The Power of Shazam. And, of course, in the middle of the month, you can expect Tiny Titans from Art and Franco as well. Lots of neat issues on the way. Pick up that Superboy one if you can. I have a feeling it's already flown off the shelves. But it was very funny. And, as always, good inside jokes that kids will laugh at no matter what. Great stuff from Art Baltasar, Franco Aureliani, and Mike Norton. Thanks to the guys for talking to me, and thank you for listening to Word Balloon, the Comic Conversation Show. John Suntress reminding you that today's show is brought to you by C2E2, the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, coming April 16th through the 18th at McCormick Place in downtown Chicago. Don't forget to tell your friends about Word Balloon. Come to our website, wordballoon.com. Check out not only our archive of interviews, but also check out some videos that we've put together. More videos coming on the way. And there's the Word Balloon message board, which links right there at wordballoon.com, hosted by Jinx World, my pal Brian Bendis. And it's always kind to point out that he was good enough to give me that message board. Join in on the conversation about this episode and others at the Word Balloon message board. Questions or comments about the show, you can certainly leave them there at the message board or reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com. Follow me on Twitter, John Word Balloon, or at Facebook under my name, John Suntress. And lots of neat things coming up. A coverage of all the changes at DC. We'll be talking about that in the days ahead on a new Word Balloon episode. So be looking for that and more creator and publisher interviews on the way. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2010.